very thankful today to be saved. Where would, have you ever thought sometimes where you would be if it weren't for the Lord? I don't like to think that too often, but sometimes I look at other people, I see what they're going through, and I see the degradation of their lives, and I just say, you know what, it's just by the grace of God that that's not me. None of us are above anybody else. We're all on equal planes, basically. But only thing that sets us apart is the fact that we have acknowledged the Lord and we've asked Him to clean up our lives and live within us. And that exalts us above everything. Thank the Lord for that. It exalts us above sin. The Lord's been dealing with me about a particular subject, and I want to lay the foundation of it today. I don't think I'll be able to deal with everything, but I want us to, first of all, turn to Genesis, the first chapter, and I want to read the 26th verse there. And I want you to pray for us that we'll be able to share it in the way that the Lord would have us to. I think there are some important things that the Lord wants us to get a hold of. We're going to talk about the soul of man. We're talking about the triune, the three parts of the Lord, the three parts of man. So we want to share with you that. So pray for us. Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So this is the thing that we'd like to present, is the Lord is saying man has not been created. He's at the previous verses. We learned that the Lord created the heaven and the earth. And we learned that how He created the heaven and the earth. It said, and God said, God created, let's go to it and read it. And it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what I want to bring about in this particular passage of Scripture is that how the three part, the triune nature of God. So when we look into this particular passage of Scripture, in the beginning, God, it says, it brings out God. Yes. And I don't believe that the Bible presents anything that I believe everything that the Scripture says, it says it for a reason. Alright? So it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And then it said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So we have here God the Father, and then we have the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the water. And then we have what is spoken. He said, and God said, let there be light. So there it was, the Word of God. Alright? So we could say the Word of God or the Son of God. Alright? In that instance. So what we have is we have the three parts, God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. And we can go to John and we learn a lot about that. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Alright? So we have an understanding that they worked in three-part harmony. There was a perfect harmony between God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. There was a three-part harmony. Everything moved together. It worked together. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Yes. The Spirit moved upon the face of the water. So all of these are working in conjunction with one another, in complete harmony with one another. Yes. Now, when He goes on, He creates the world. He lays the foundation of the world there. And there's everything that is needed. He basically brings about the infrastructure of what we're still enjoying today. The dirt, the water, the sun, the moon, the stars, the birds, the trees, all a plant seeds after its kind. All these things, the Lord lays the foundation and the infrastructure of what we're still building on and enjoying in our lives today. But then He goes on and He says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so when He says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so we have here, what does that mean? Does it mean that, I've understood in many situations that I've heard that man is a twofold being? Well, that's partly right. I believe man is a twofold being. I went to a funeral yesterday, and you know how you go to a funeral and you say, oh, they look good in the casket. Have you ever said those kinds of things?
They looked good. They looked like themselves. They didn't look strange or different. And I felt that way yesterday. But I knew that the person that we were viewing was not there. What I saw was a body. And what the scripture says, if you read on into Genesis, what the scripture tells is that that body that we have is going to return to dust, right? All right? So we have a body. So we understand that we as human beings have a body. All right? And so he said, but let us make man in our image. I want us to understand, what is he talking about when he says, let us make man in our image? So there's a body that we have that we can see, but then there's something that animates that body, correct? And there is the spirit of man. There is our spirit, that what the thing that speaks. So when we see a body that's there, that is not animated, that the scripture says in James, I believe it is, it says that where the faith without works is dead, as the body is without the spirit, so faith without works is dead. So it tells us that the body without the spirit is dead. So there is this animation of the spirit that we have, not the spirit of God. It is man's spirit that that God put in, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we have in within us a spirit. So here is that body, and that spirit is what animates that body, right? So we have that understanding. But what differentiates us between the birds that are out there? They have a body, and or the chickens, or the dogs, or the bears, or whatever. What's the difference in us and them? All right? They have a body just like we do. All right? They have a spirit. If you go into the scripture and read into the scripture, that you'll find out that there is a spirit of life. When the Lord was talking to Noah about it, he said, everything that has a spirit of life in it. So God has not breathed into the animal kingdom the spirit of life like he did in humankind, but he did. There was something special when he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So the Lord says, and so who is he talking to? He's talking to himself. He's talking to the Word. He's talking to the Spirit. Let us make man in our image. So when we see this, God as three parts, then we can see man also as three parts, because there's something a little different about man than about the beasts of the field. Yes. There's something a little different about mankind than about the birds that fly in the air. Do you notice God, when you read the creation, God did not go through the trouble that he went through with man to create these beings. Yes. All right? They're creatures just like man is created. Now let's go a little farther here. So it says, let's go to the second Genesis 2. Let's go to verse 7. Let's just jump to 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see that God formed man. He didn't just speak man into existence, like he spoke the world into existence. He formed man. That shows us something that's very tender, a greater love, a greater special place that God had in the heart, in his heart, for what he was about to create. This is the apex of his creation. And may the Lord help us to realize how much the Lord loved us when he created, he formed us, and the intricate detail in our bodies and in our lives, those intricate details, God formed those. I don't know how long it took for him to do it, but the Lord breathed and he took it. Have you ever just picked a baby up and just let his little breaths breathe into you? There's something special about it, isn't it? It's sweet. It's something that's tender, that you put his little face up to yours, and then there's a love, that there is some, just a connection that you have with that child, especially if it's yours. All right? So here is God with this creation, this man, this apex of his creation, of all the things that he's created, the one that he loves the most, the one that he gives the most tender, has the most tender compassion for, is this man that he's created. He said, I want to do something special for him. Yeah. So he picks him up and he puts his mouth, his breath up against his. I don't know how it happened, but this is what the scripture said. Yeah. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. He was animated. There was a spirit. There was something about the spirit of God that went into that man that gave man a spirit. All right, so we're talking about the spirit. But now there is something else that goes along with this. Man also has a soul. Something that's going to live throughout all eternity. And this man, if we understand it, when we're looking at Adam and Eve, and before the fall, they were in perfect harmony. This body, spirit, and soul was in perfect harmony, just like the God the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. Perfect harmony. This has never gotten out of harmony. The problem that we have with mankind is mankind, because of the fall, because of sin, we're out of harmony with ourselves. We're in conflict with us. There are things about ourselves that we are constantly fighting and battling and trying to subdue by the help and the grace of God. The only way to subdue it is that we need the grace and the power of God to bring us back into harmony, one with ourselves. Alright? Alright, so we have that he says, let us make man. So here is the three parts of man. We have the body, the spirit, and the soul. Everybody understand that? Do you believe that? Now I know in many instances I've heard it taught that the spirit and the soul are the same. I'm going to say that it's not. And I'm going to bring out a few scriptures as to why I believe that. All right, and I believe it's important for us to know it and important for us to understand it. All right, so it says here, we'll make man in our image. That's one of the first things, in our image. And if he's making it in our image, does God look like a human being? Or are you talking about, in a spiritual sense, he's talking about something where there are three parts? I believe that he's talking about the three parts that he comes together. Let's make man in the image, in our likeness. And when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Eden, the Lord came down and wanted to commune with them, didn't he? You know the Lord still wants to commune with us. Today he wants to commune with us. And this is why he says, you know what? He's with you and he shall be in you. He doesn't want just to have the Spirit of God. We're the temple of God. And we are, he wants to dwell in us. He wants to be a part of our lives. And this is why we're here today, isn't it? All right, let's go a little farther here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and 23rd verse. Let's read that. I don't know if anybody has ever, you can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, some places like that, and they have epoxy. And that epoxy has three parts, or two parts. Have you ever dealt with something like that?
Yes.
And so basically you have one part here, and you have another part. And these parts are separate. So you got two separate parts, right? But what happens is those two separate parts, independent of combining with each other, they don't create the kind of an effect that you want, right?
Right?
And so when you take them, you squeeze a little bit out of this and you squeeze a little bit out of that and you mix it together, then there's this chemical reaction that creates something altogether different from the two parts, right?
Right.
So in the same way, this is how we can look at the body and the spirit. When God created the man, when he did the dirt from the dirt of the ground and he created him and he breathed into his breath, the nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There was this, for lack of a better analogy, this chemical reaction that happened. This something that happened with the breath of God that brought in the spirit of man, and it mixed with the dirt of the ground, or the body of man, and it created a soul. It created a third part, something that is equally or more important than the other two parts of man, because they all work together. And what the Lord intended, while man was in that place of harmony, while man was in this total three-part harmony, that everything was lined up and everything was going like it's supposed to go, man could have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever in that state. But because man disobeyed God, something happened. There was a fall that took place, and something happened. And now this man that was once perfect is now just in chaos.
Yes.
All right? And we're still in chaos, aren't we?
Yes.
And the only redeeming, only thing that can redeem us is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
All right? Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23.
And the very God of peace
sanctify you wholly. I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless the coming of our Lord Jesus. All right, so it says here, coming of our Lord Jesus. Is that it?
And I pray God.
Yes.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Okay,
and I pray God your whole spirit and
yes.
soul
and soul.
And body.
Okay, so here's what we're talking about. So we talk sometimes about sanctification, and I want you to understand what sanctification is. Sanctification is an infilling of the Spirit of God. It's when an individual humbles himself and allows literally the Spirit of God to dwell in and take up his abode in our lives. Now, I've often used this as an analogy. One of the things that if when we move into a house, one of the things that we do, one of the first things a normal person does when they come into a house, they clean it up, don't they?
Yes.
They clean it. I mean, if somebody else, you have some tenants, I deal in real estate all the time. You have tenants move out. I trust me, if you have tenants move out, most of them you don't want to move back in until something has taken place. Until you cleaned it, you painted the walls, you cleaned the carpet, changed the carpet, whatever it is. Don't you suppose if we have that kind of desire, don't you suppose that the Lord has that kind of desire? If we're the temple of God and the Lord wants to dwell in us and He wants to sanctify us, and this is what sanctification is, that we live, that the Spirit of God, we actually invite the Spirit of God to live in us. We've got to have a clean heart.
Yeah.
The first thing the Lord does, He said, first, before I move in, it's going to have to be clean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to move in a dirty, where other tenants have been in there, where sin has been in there, where the devil has been in there. I'm not interested in going over in his dirt. You know, there's something about our dirt, that we can go in our dirty house, but we don't want to go in nobody else's dirty house.
Right?
Yeah. Our dirt is more sanctified than somebody else's. And that's why sometimes, I put that in quotations, sometimes I believe that's why people are saying it's okay for me to live the way that I'm living, is because I'm okay with my dirt, but the Lord's not okay with it. So the Lord is saying to us, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be the one that I, if you're going to be sanctified, you got to be saved first, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to come and dwell in, what is it? The Lord comes in, He cleans us up. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
Places I used to go, I don't do it. I don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. You know, the wonderful thing about salvation, I don't want to do those things anyway. You know, the older you get, the more precious salvation becomes.
Yes.
And we don't want the devil to get in there and cause us to go back on the Lord. May God have mercy on us. May God help us to live right every day from this time forward. Nothing is worth it. It's not worth it because we are a three-part being. I've got a soul. And my soul is continually in my hand. You know, my spirit may not be. The whole point is I don't have jurisdiction over when I die. But I have jurisdiction over how I die.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, what condition my soul is in when I die. The Lord may take my breath away. He may take my spirit away. There may be a separation of the spirit from the body and whatnot. But I know how I know today how I can die.
Yeah.
Because I can live right.
Yeah.
I can give my heart to the Lord today.
Yeah. Amen.
And whenever that time comes, my soul is in my hand.
Yeah.
All right? So it says here, he says, sanctify you wholly, completely. So what does holy mean? Completely, right? So it's not just holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, you got to be holy. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy. I believe that holy is this holy, right? In that particular scripture, you got to be holy. When you present your body as a living sacrifice to God, it's got to be holy, Lord. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. God does not ask us to do anything for Him that He has not already done for us.
Yeah.
He's presented Himself completely, holy. And so what this scripture in Thessalonians is talking about is complete. I want you to be completely sanctified. The Lord wants us to be sanctified. And may the Lord help us to be willing to be sanctified. So what is He talking about? Sanctification, that your whole body, that your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, it didn't say your whole body and spirit. It said your whole spirit and body and soul be preserved blameless. So when I get sanctified, when the Lord comes into my life, He's not just wanting to be the Lord over this body. He's wanting to be the Lord over my emotions. He wants to be the Lord over my soul. He wants to be the Lord over my intellect. The way that I think, the way that I talk, what I do, where I go, how I dress. The Lord has a right to do that, doesn't He?
Yes.
Just like on your job, there is what's called business attire, right?
Yes.
And then there's called what's called casual business. Then there's called what's casual, right? And then there is this dress code that they have on your job. Some of you wear a uniform.
Yes.
But if you come in flip-flops and tank top and all of this and cutoffs and all this, they're going to send you back home, aren't they?
Yes.
Why? Do they have a right to do that?
Yes.
They have a right to do it because they have a dress code. Do you suppose the Holy Ghost has a dress code?
Yes.
Well, y'all have got to do all that to be Christians. Well, maybe we don't, but the Lord has, the Holy Ghost speaks to our heart. The Holy Ghost tells modesty is the dress code.
Yes.
Whatever it is. I may not like your dress, you may not like my suit, but as long as it covers my body, the Lord's okay with it, isn't it?
Yes.
I might not like the color, you might not like my color, whatever it is, you might not like, but the whole point is the dress code is modesty. Is that fair?
Yes.
Now, I want you to raise your hand if I haven't walked up to somebody as a pastor. I've been here for 29 years. As a pastor, if I've ever walked up to you and say, you need to get out of that thing. I am not the enforcer.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost will speak to you.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost will tell you what not to put on and what to put on.
True.
He's done it for me. You can't wear that. That's too tight. The wrong color. Lord has done that for me.
Yeah.
Lord help us. All right. Going to go a little farther here. So it says the whole, be holy. So completely, I pray that to God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in essence, that part of what the Holy Ghost does, it preserves us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What keeps me from going back? What keeps you from going back? What keeps a person that's been saved for 50, 60, 70 years, however long, what keeps them from going back into this to the world? It's the power of God that holds us, isn't it?
Amen.
It's God's power that we ask, Lord, you come into my life, you come into my heart, literally, I literally are possessed. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks in the world today? People are possessed with the spirit of the enemy. They are. And some of the foolish things that they're doing, and they don't remember that they did it, it's because there's demon possession. All kind of movies on going about that kind of foolishness, isn't it? Well, it's not foolishness. It's real.
Yeah.
And people are being entertained by it. It's a serious thing.
Yeah.
And so if you can be possessed by an evil spirit, you can be possessed by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God is not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. The Spirit of God is going to enable you. It's going to empower you to be able to live right when everybody else is living wrong.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is going to enable you to say the right thing or what you need to say or not to say anything at all because it's not a good time. This is not the right time. The Lord, they need to be told, but you're not the one to tell them. So the Spirit of God is going to withhold. It's going to empower you to do what you need to do or what you don't need to do. The Lord gives you power to do that.
Yeah.
And this is what it's talking about. So when we're talking about our whole body, spirit, soul being preserved, sanctified, holy, and preserved blameless, that's for your benefit. That's for the benefit of those that are around you. You know what? It's better to have sanctified people than people that are not.
Yes.
So I'm saying, but I haven't really gone to the altar for sanctification. Well, let me tell you, and you're struggling, and I know you are. And let me tell you, we have to fight even when we are sanctified. We got to fight the devil. But let me tell you, you will not be able to maintain total victory in your life without being fully sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. It's impossible. And the Lord's going to give us an opportunity and a time to come together and to seek Him. Lord, and how do we do it? Lord, we do it at an altar of prayer, wherever that altar may be. At our bedside, driving down the street, at a public altar. It doesn't matter. But what happens is, I have to submit myself to the Lord. I have to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm willing to give. I'm willing to give my all. I'm willing to be wholly sanctified. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. I want my thoughts to be sanctified. I want the way my body to be sanctified. I want my senses. I want my passions to be sanctified, Lord. Everything about me, I want it to be sanctified. Holy. Completely. And the Lord will do that for us. He'll do it. He'll do it. Thank the Lord. All right. So it says, all right, another scripture I want to go to. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and I want to read 12th verse. Have it read it, please.
For the Word of God,
quick
and
powerful,
and
sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes,
piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
and
of the joints and marrow,
and
is the discerner of the thoughts and intents
of the heart.
Now, you know what? The Lord knows what we're thinking, doesn't He?
And you know what? One of the things that is necessary when you are in a court of law, one of the things that's necessary is to get down to the motive. What was the motivation of why they did it? A person can do something and have the right motive of doing it and do the wrong thing, right? And then, so they don't actually just look at the thing that is done, they look at the motivation behind it, right? So if there was a premeditated murder or as opposed to a gun that just accidentally went off, those are two separate things, aren't they? Now, whether or not people camouflage them and try to make it look like it was an accident or not, that the questions, when they are on the stand, the questions are to try to hone in to why. What's the motive here? Why did you do this? And once you find out the motive, then you really know what you're dealing with. So what he says here, thoughts and intents of the heart. They may seem like what the thoughts are maybe could be different from the intent. Right? What you're thinking and what you're saying, what's the intent of it? Now, here, the point that I want to bring out here, though, is it says here, dividing asunder of
soul
and spirit. It did not make them as the same. It made them as two different ones. And so they may look like and be like the same. So in my mind, the way the Lord brings it out to my mind and the way I've looked at it is that the body is the outer shell of the soul and the spirit, of the soul, in essence. And the soul is the outer shell of the spirit. Because I'm going to live forever. All of us are going to live forever whether we want to or not. We don't have a choice. We're going to live in eternity somewhere. You're going to live there. I'm going to live there. I'm going to be in eternity. I have a soul that is going to last throughout all eternity. So there is an eternal element about the soul. There is something eternal, something that lives forever. Now, we all understand and know that this body is going to die. I don't think that there's anybody. We can see the effects of death in our body already. You know, well, some of us, when we were younger, we were pretty dashing. Now we're getting old, bald-headed and wrinkled and all these kinds of things. The death is having an effect on us, isn't it? Even as we're standing here, we're getting older. All right? Now, I want to read a few other scriptures here. I want to go to... kind of jumped around here. let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 39. Someone else get me... I just want to bring out a point here. Genesis 6, and we'll just read one of those scriptures. A couple of scriptures like that, but... let's Genesis 7, verse 15. And then we'll go to... I want to bring out the difference of animals versus mankind. That we... animals have a body, they also have a spirit. And I want to bring out the point that says here, I'll just read it, Genesis 7, verse 15, and they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh wherein is the breath of life.
Yes.
So it talks about the breath of life of the animals that went in two and two into the ark, to Noah's ark. Mm-hmm. But those, we all understand that that's distinctly different from the breath of life that Christ gave. That God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. There was something different that happened there. Even though we're talking in the same, the Lord speaks to us in the Word of God. He speaks to us about being souls, but He doesn't speak about the animals being souls. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39.
All flesh is not the same flesh.
All flesh is not the same flesh.
But there is one kind of flesh of men.
There's one kind of flesh of men. Another flesh of beast.
Another of fishes.
Another of fishes.
And another of birds.
There are also celestial bodies.
And bodies terrestrial.
But the glory of the celestial is one.
And the glory
of the terrestrial is another.
There is one glory
of the sun.
And another glory
of
the moon.
All right, that's good enough for now. It says, and all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. Another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So in other words, it gives us the distinction that flesh, and we're talking about the breath of life. So what we see is when we're talking about body, and we're talking about from the standpoint of animals, we're seeing that animals, what happens to them when they die? The same thing that happens to us, correct? They turn back to dust. All right? Just like we do. Their bodies begin to decay, and it begins to break down, and it turns back into dust. And what happens when they're walking around? They're breathing. If they're alive, they're breathing. They have a spirit. And that a breath of life is in them, but they don't have the soul. We don't find any evidence in the Scripture that they have a soul, but we do. And so we have an understanding that there is a type of a flesh, a man, and then there's a type of flesh, an animal. All right? So I think this is important for us to know and for us to understand as we go forward. Because I feel like this is what the Lord would have us to lay the foundation as we address other issues that are regarding this. Okay? So let's go a little farther here. All right? So I'll drop down to the 44th verse. I want to read a little bit there.
It is sown
a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. All right, so there is sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. So we have to understand, on this side of eternity, I have the right, I have the privilege, I have the obligation, for my own soul's sake, my soul's sake, I have the responsibility while I'm in this body to make certain that I prepare for eternity, because I know it's going to be there. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen when we die. Nobody knows that. We can go by the Scripture. We can go by the understanding of what the Scripture says, that there's a heaven for us to go to and there's a hell for us to go to if we do not live right. So we want to make certain. And just in case those things... Well, I know they're right, but I'm just saying this to people that may doubt it. Just in case it's right, live right. Your life is going to be better anyway. You'd have a better life living right than living wrong. All right, the people that are living right. You can look at. Have you ever looked at somebody's life and you think that their life seems to be so blessed because they're living for the Lord? People's lives that are living for the Lord, they are blessed. Lord, help us. So I know while I have these few years left in my life, I don't have very much. I don't know how many years I have, but I don't have as much as I used to have. But I need to make certain now that I'm living for the Lord. I'm living like the Lord wants me to live.
Amen.
That I'm willing, I'm ready at all times. I'm ready to die, whatever it takes. Lord, I might go out here, have a car accident. I don't know. I trust I won't, but I don't know. I want to be ready. I want you to be ready. The Lord wants you to be ready. That's our job, because I'm going to live in eternity with this thing that's called my soul.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let my body, the passions of the body, the passions of the flesh, I'm not going to let them war against my soul to the point that it causes me to live apart from God throughout all eternity. I won't allow that to happen. And this is why it's important for us to realize that when I get saved, it's just not all right to be saved. That's a good thing. That's the number one thing. Get saved. But in order for me to keep it and to maintain it, I am going to have to be sanctified, holy, completely, body, mind, spirit. Sanctified. The Spirit of God permeating throughout my body. You know, there is oxygen. I'm not in the medical field at all, but there's oxygen in every cell of our body. Am I right in that? That permeates throughout our body. There is oxygen. And if this heart that stops pumping and the blood and the oxygen doesn't go to a part of my brain for whatever reason, I'm going to die. All right, so what is oxygen? Oxygen is this. You can't see it. It's this floating breeze. It's something that you cannot see, but you know it's there, because when you breathe in, there's something that comes into your lungs and it expands them. There's something that comes into your being, and now that heart that's pumping is pumping that invisible, whatever you would call it, that invisible oxygen to every part of my body to keep it alive. That's like the Spirit of God. We don't see it. We don't know. Like the wind that blows, we don't see the Spirit, but we know it exists. Do you see the wind? Do you see the trees out there? Do you see the limbs that are moving? What's moving them? Do you see what's moving them? No, you don't. But you know that there's something out there moving them. And that's something, if I can make that analogy with the Spirit of God that comes in us, and as we breathe in and we expand, it goes to every part of our being, our whole body. As I breathe in the Spirit, the whole body is sanctified. My mind, my mindset,
yes.
My soul,
yes.
Everything is submitted to the will of God. I want God to be glorified in my life. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I want God to be glorified in my life. And so, Lord, as I breathe you in, as I allow you to come into my being, as I allow you to be in a spiritual sense, what this oxygen to me is to me, in a natural sense, as I allow that to happen in my life, Lord, then you bless me. You give me the power. You give me the strength. Let me tell you, you go up on in the high altitudes where the air is thin, and you can't get the oxygen in your lungs that you need to, you're going to have some problems, aren't you? You don't have the strength that you need to be able to push against things. It's the same way spiritually. You don't have the strength that you need to be able to push against the temptations of the world if you're not sanctified, your body, spirit, and soul.
Amen.
All right? Okay. Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." The Lord is what gives us life. So there's something about the Spirit of God that gives life. All right? It gives life to man. It gives life to beasts. But there's something more. When the Lord breathed into our nostrils, there's something that happened to us. All right? 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. I'm just going to read it. It says, "Unto who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." So what gives us the life is not the soul of man, but it's not the soul of man, but the Spirit that God has given us. All right, and it's the Spirit of God that He gives us, but that He gives us as well. All right. Okay. I want to go a little farther here. I want to read a couple things that I got that were very interesting to me. From since the body, it is through the corporal body that man comes into contact with the material world. Hence, we may label the body as that part which gives us world consciousness. So we have a body, right? And we are, this body is what interacts with what's around us. And it's what we touch. It's the things that affect us. And it says here, the soul. The soul comprises the intellect, which aids us in the present state of existence, and the emotions which proceed from the senses. Since the soul belongs to man's own self and reveals his personality, it is termed the part of self-consciousness. So what this author said here is that the soul is where self is housed. It's where the emotions are. It's where what makes me who I am is. All right? And the spirit is that part by which we commune with God, and by which alone we are able to apprehend and worship Him. Because it tells us of our relationship with God, the Spirit is called the element of God consciousness. So he's talking about world consciousness, self-consciousness, and God consciousness. The body, the soul, and the Spirit. One of the things that we can say, the Scripture talks about, it says that God is a Spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we worship the Lord with our spirit, right? And our spirit has some impact and some understanding and impact on reaching up to God, worshiping Him, connecting with the Lord, our spirit to His spirit. There's scripture that says, another scripture that talks about, let's see if I wrote that down. I don't think I have it there. Well, I guess this is more of a lesson than it is a preaching. I don't know what it is, but it's something what the Lord gave me for today. And so I trust that it is what you need. I looked at one scripture. The Lord brought one scripture to my mind. And when we talk about how there is inconsistency in our own self, that we fight, there's this inner turmoil. Remember the scripture that talks about the good that I would, I don't do it. Evil that I would not, that's what I do. It's no more I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the sin principle has caused a lot of damage. Let me tell you, if you go into something and you do a lot of damage, and sometimes the way the enemy has fought us down through the years, if you've been in sin for any length of time, and if you're listening and sympathetic to the things of sin around you, then there are going to be times that the enemy is going to come in and he's going to do damage to your mind. This is why it needs to be sanctified holy. The way that we think is going to be damaged in some kind of way. And we need the Lord to change our mind. The Lord to renew our mind. To give us something different. This is why it needs to be sanctified, doesn't it? Alright, our bodies need to be sanctified because we have involved ourselves in things that we shouldn't have involved ourselves in. And those passions are still alive. And we need God to subdue them. And the only thing that can subdue them is the Lord. This is why people go back. I believe one thing that the Lord has shown me is one of the reasons that people go back so much is because they don't allow themselves to be completely, wholly sanctified. Our emotions are not sanctified. Do you realize how much we deal with our emotions and how many decisions we make based on our emotions? How many spiritual decisions we make based on our emotions? And oftentimes, we get ourselves in trouble. Well, I don't feel saved. What's that got to do with it? It's all about faith. It's not about feelings. It's not about my emotions, whether or not I'm saved. I'm saved because I honestly, truly believe in the Word of God. And I believe God saved me. And I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to live for Him. That's what makes me saved. Not that I feel like I'm saved. Lord, help us. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I wanted to kind of lay the foundation that the Lord would have us to be men and women of Him and men and women of God. And the way that we do that is understanding Him, who He is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Alright, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we were talking about that we worship God, the God consciousness part of us that worships God and knows who God is and knows something about God. This God consciousness about us, that man knoweth, it says, and the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We worship God in the Spirit, don't we?
Yeah.
And so the way that we understand, the way that we come to a knowledge and understanding is that it can't be this body. It has to be the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of man communes. What does the Scripture say in one place? That the Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Yeah.
That we are the sons of God. Our spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God. It didn't say our bodies bear witness. It didn't say our souls bear witness. It is our spirit bears. There's this communication, this cable, so to speak, from man to God, that God speaks to us through our spirit. And by the help and the grace of God, if we allow our minds, our spirits to be sanctified and holy, then we won't ever give the Lord up. Doesn't matter what the world is doing. Do you know things are going to get worse?
Yeah.
Do you know that it's going to be even a greater falling away? There's going to be people that you didn't expect, Lord, have mercy on us, that are falling away. It's already happened. We already see it happening.
Yeah.
Folks that we never would have thought have fallen away have. And you know, may the Lord help us not to do it.
Amen.
What prevents us from doing it?
Amen.
Why are we so much better? No. We're no better than they were. We've got to be more careful than they were. Because we have an adversary. The devil has a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. You know what? We talked about that before. That word may is a word of permission.
Yes.
Whom he may devour. The devil can't devour you if you don't give him permission to do it.
Right.
He can't devour me. He can't pull me away. If there's some little crack there that I'm making some provision for the flesh, he has every right to devour me.
Right.
But if I don't do that, so what can you say about that? You can say about that whoever has fallen away, there is some place that they've given permission to do it. You know, the reason I say that, look at Job. Look at the situation in Job. The devil couldn't touch Job unless he had permission to do it.
Praise God.
He couldn't wreak havoc there unless he had permission to do it. So Job goes to the Lord. Why do you suppose the Lord gives us that understanding? He pulls back the curtain and he says, listen, have you considered my servant Job? Well, there's none like him. I can't touch Job because you've got this hedge around him. But you move that hedge. You give me permission to do it. And the Lord gave him permission. But let me tell you this. The Lord will not allow the devil to touch you if he knows you. The Lord won't allow the devil to touch you. Somebody gets to get permission. Let's put it that way. If you're not strong enough, the Lord's not going to let him do it. You might, but the Lord's not going to do it. And you can give him the right to do it, whom he may devour. Lord, help us. We don't want to give him any foothold.
Amen. Amen.
May the Lord help us. All right, so the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolish unto him. The animal man, one who lives in a natural state and under the influence of his animal passions. That means inferior. This is Strong's. Means the inferior and sensual part of man in opposition to the understanding or spirit. So the natural man, some of the things that we've got to be very careful about, because I think that sometimes when we look at it, I think that we allow our natural bodies, our passions, to make spiritual decisions that are long-term decisions. They're eternal decisions. So I feel like that's what the Lord wants us to, wants you to know today. That sometimes our emotions are what making the decisions. You know, have you ever gotten up and said, you know, I don't feel a certain way?
Yes.
And you know, we often tell a child, have you ever made a really good decision based on emotion? Not really. No, it has to be rational, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so what we have to understand is that there's a part of us that's warring. This is warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Right? So there's this war that's going on within us. And we have to understand, how do I subdue this body?
Brother Gerald, you don't understand. You know, I've done this all my life. I've been this way all my life, and it's hard. Well, I understand that. There's some things I've been all my life that I have to ask the Lord to subdue. And the only way that we can do, you've got to have a power that's greater than your own. All right. If you have a mental problem, things in your mind, or you're having spiritual problems, or you're having a physical problem, there are things that you really need just to submit yourself and let the Lord wholly sanctify you. Every part of your being. And when the Lord does that, you have the power. You have now accepted a power that is greater than your own. Now, how do I resist these things? By the power of God. The more I submit to Him, the greatest, more strength He has to be able to resist the temptations that I'm facing. I need the Lord to do that. And so what the Lord wants to do is to bring ourselves, for lack of a better word, our body, our spirit, our soul back into harmony, into a three-part harmony where we're doing all of it, all is doing the same thing. Because what happens when a person is in sin, there's this soul that's crying out and saying, the body doesn't have to spend eternity in hell, not that body, but I will have to do it.
Right.
And so there's this little still small voice that is calling out to us and is saying, listen, let's not do that. Let's not go to that club. Let's not drink there. Let's not do this. And there's this, that I never can quite be in harmony. I never can quite have the fun that I want to have because all of these things are in conflict one with another. And oh, my body is having fun, my spirit may be having fun, but my soul is crying out, don't do it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, how do I not do it? Maybe I have a change of heart and I lay down on I fall down on my knees and I beg the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me. And the Lord forgives us, but then it seems like that little thing in the back of my head is still calling out and wanting to pull me in that direction or in this direction. Now, how do I change that? How does that change? That changes by having your body, spirit, soul completely sanctified. Holy sanctified.
Yes.
Holy sanctified.
Yes.
And then what's that holy sanctified? Holy, complete sanctification. It means that now I have a power that's greater than the power that's against me.
Yes.
It says, in one place it says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which do what? War against the soul. And what? My flesh is out there doing what it's wanting to do and it's having all this fun, but what is it doing? It's warring against my soul. So I need to get all of these things lined up and put them in a line. And now, how do I do that? The only way I do it is that God gives me the power by His grace, by His power. He comes into my heart. He comes into my, literally into my body. And He gives me the power. You're talking about the power. What does it say? The Spirit of God moved on the face of the earth. And it's still moving on the face of the earth. The power that's in the Spirit of God is in us. Now the Spirit of God rules and reigns in me. Now, do you suppose I have power? He said, greater is He that is in what? In me than He that is in the world. So the world is pulling me in that direction. But as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, and as long as I say, Lord, I don't want to go in that direction, greater is He that is in me. And as long as I take care of the Lord and maintain my integrity with Him and maintain the Spirit of God in me, as long as I do that, I have power against anything that comes against me. Now that is the truth.
Amen.
Now, do you suppose that I've been preaching for 30 years. Do you suppose I haven't had any trouble? Do you suppose I haven't had any temptation? What keeps you saved? The power of God. The power that works in us. There's a greater power that works in us. That's what keeps me saved. That's what keeps me sanctified. That's what's going to keep you as well. May the Lord help us. Pray for us.
I'm saying, by the power.